was the king. But look how happy he was when he played the scene. It's a day to day. What a good day to you. Welcome into today's edition of Strategies for Living. I'm marriage and family therapist David McMillan. Just delighted that you have joined with me today on this last program of 2004 here on Strategies for Living. And, you know, we're here each and every weekday when we're not taking holidays. And our whole purpose is to focus on helping us to live healthier, happier, and more peaceful lives in our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirits here in the 21st century. You know, recently I hosted a program with Dr. Brian Weiss, who is very, very well known for the books that he's written. He's a regression therapist, and he takes people back and through the process of hypnosis helps them to visit past lives. And while preparing for that program, I was doing just a little internet surfing and came across a fellow by the name of Stephen Sekularius. He lives in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and had the opportunity to talk with him. He has produced a DVD. It's an excellent DVD. It's called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. And it's interesting background because this fellow, Stephen, has a one-man video production business called Go Thread Productions, and he wanted a creative project that would kind of he could launch with the production company. And he's got an interesting story to tell us. It ended up that he didn't get much funding to do the DVD, but it is very well done in spite of that. And I am looking forward to this conversation today with Stephen Sekularius. Stephen, welcome to Strategies for Living. Glad to have you here.
David, thank you for inviting me.
And, you know, we were in the theme song. It said Elvis wasn't too happy when he split the scene. You know, maybe he's back with us.
Quite possibly.
Well, you know, wonder where he could be. He could be right here in Shreveport eating donuts at Southern Made Donuts or something.
That's
you know, what I just did, making a joke, making light of this. Is something, it's about the only thing that happens in the West when you start talking about the subject of reincarnation outside of conversations with people like Dr. Brian Weiss and other. You had a number of experts on your DVD, but I'm talking just common folk. Don't take this too seriously, do they?
There is a theory that I ran across in college in cultural anthropology that when a new idea is introduced into society, it starts out as a toy or a game, not taken seriously. An example is like the horse. The first guy that jumped on a horse, this was a goof. He, you know, did it on a dare, probably, you know, for his friends. Then gradually it gets taken seriously. It moves into the realm of real work,
right,
which the horse was used for, you know, transportation. And eventually it moves on back into the realm of play again. So now people ride horses for recreation. So I think that reincarnation is following the same track in our society, not in Eastern societies, but in our society right now it's a toy. It's a joke. What? At some point it gets moved into real work, and there are people who are using it for real work in therapy.
Oh, absolutely. And that's fascinating.
Then eventually you move beyond, you outgrow it. So that also we have to look ahead.
Yeah. What got you interested in this topic? Because I know in our initial conversations this wasn't part of your religious training or background or anything like that. So what led you to this?
I was raised as an atheist and a liberal Democrat. Being a liberal Democrat was sort of the family religion, I think. But I got interested in Eastern philosophy and really seriously started searching around age 19 and went through a lot of different things. But reincarnation, of course, kept coming up as I began reading the scriptures. And as I began reading the esoteric side of all of the religions, really. But going further back, I would say that I had, like everybody, had past life memories when I was a kid, and maybe a little more so than some, but as I understand, all kids do up to about age 7.
Yeah,
and they don't get taken seriously. Again, they get kind of ridiculed, and say, you know, it doesn't take very many times of being ridiculed to keep something to yourself. And then the memories fade after about age 7. But they confused the heck out of me, because I had these tremendous feelings of nostalgia for things that I vaguely remembered. I didn't know what they were. I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have any frame of reference to put them in.
Right.
So I think when I was 19 and I started encountering this in the literature, I was drawn to it. I had a feeling that this makes a lot of things make sense.
Now, the video is called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. And when you decided to do this project... And let's tell folks how to get it, because it's right away we'll talk about this and tell this several times through the program. You can go to the website www.ialinanotherlife.gothread.com. GoThread's the name of your video production. So it's www.ial.goldthread.com. And folks can order the video directly from that site. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I can now take credit cards. Couldn't for a long time.
All right. It's not an expensive proposition here. This is not to buy this video, the DVD. It's not going to break the bank, right?
No, it's kind of breaking my bank. I totaled $214 as of November profit. So it pays for itself, put it that way.
So there you go. And it's about an hour video, and it's one of the most interesting hours I think you'll ever spend. It's well produced, especially given the fact that I wouldn't even say this is low budget.
No, it's almost no budget.
Yeah.
It was people, you know, somebody said, here's a $25 check. Somebody said, here's $250 to buy yourself a hard drive. Total to less than $2,000 over 5 years.
When you began to do this project, when you decided you were going to do it, you did the typical thing that producers do. You began to go to organizations and institutes that underwrite this type of production.
Anybody and everybody.
In the filmmaking world. What did you find as you went around and you started telling the story of what you wanted to do, what you wanted to produce here?
Well, it's interesting. I didn't get very much negative reaction. I was expecting to get, you know, hate mail and various things. Very little of that. What I got is ignored, patronized, I would say. And specifically in terms of the funding organizations, they wanted something that was socially relevant, that they felt was socially relevant. And they perceived reincarnation as a trivial, you know, entertainment topic. So they were not about to part with dollars for something that they saw no social value.
It's interesting because, you know, when you listen, as I listened to Dr. Weiss recently, and Dr. Brian Weiss in the program that he did with me, and he talked about the thousands of people that he's regressed through the years now. And the story after story after story of the impact that the work has made in their lives. And then I got to thinking about the ripple effect of that, Stephen. You know, this person's life is profoundly changed. Well, you know, most of us are going to touch in family and friends other lives and influence other lives. And I got to thinking about the ripple effect. Geez, I mean, talk about social relevance.
Yeah, very slowly. It's a lot of resistance. Dr. Weiss is one of the really foremost pioneers who's moving this from that first stage of it being a toy to real work. And the truth is that past life therapy has the ability to resolve long-term serious issues of certain types within 2-3 sessions. It's incredibly powerful.
You talk about another pioneer in the video, Dr. Ian Stevenson, who some people may be familiar with his work. The book is called 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation. And his studies all center around children. Is that right?
That's right. And first off, I should mention he's a pediatric psychiatrist, like Dr. Weiss, very well-credentialed.
Yes.
Professional.
Yes.
And at the University of Virginia. He specifically focuses on children for a reason, and that is because with children, if you study children who, as soon as they can talk, start remembering these very specific details, which can be verified, it cuts out a lot of alternative possibilities, a lot of alternative explanations.
Right.
And his research is specifically designed. I mean, he tries to shoot down his own conclusions. And in the process of trying to shoot down his own conclusions, he keeps refining the approach until he eliminates the reasonable possibility of these alternatives.
It's interesting. You've got a philosopher that appears on the DVD several times.
Right, Dr. Allmeter.
Yes, and he made the point that sometimes people ask him what he believes, and he makes the point that it doesn't matter what I believe. what matters is to take a look at the information out there and see if you can make some kind of rational determination of, is there any other rational explanation for this? And I found that very interesting.
The only one that holds water sometimes is some kind of ESP,
mm-hmm.
which brings in a whole other area that that people don't want to look at. But it is possible that that extrasensory perception could account for some of these memories. In other words, that the person is reading the mind of the of somebody else.
Hmm.
It's also possible that there's a pool out there somewhere in Akashic Records or whatever you want to say, collective unconscious, that people are drawing from, and it's not actually their memories. There's been other theories like genetic memories,
right.
Racial memories, things
right.
like that, which I personally don't buy that these memories could be stored in physical DNA. But and then there's something called cryptoamnesia, which bears looking at.
Well, but then you hit on the video, an assistant fire chief by the name of Jeffrey Keane, and how in the world do you explain this gentleman's just incredible story?
Well, he looks, he's almost a dead ringer physically for this previous person.
It makes
he had memories of.
Yeah, my experience in watching the video, and it's done very well when you show the picture of the Civil War general, and he up when you put it up on the screen, and you see the striking similarities between them, it makes the hair of the back of your head stand up.
But yeah, it does, and I've seen that reaction. I saw somebody just blanch looking at them, but that's not the strongest part of it. The strongest part of it is I went to the archives at the university in Athens here, University of Georgia. They have the archives of General Gordon's letters from the front to his wife, Fanny. And I read those letters, and I was very interested to see that General Gordon was really a mystic. He was very religious and mystically inclined. And I know Jeff Keane personally. I've gotten to know him. And if I compare the personalities, they're also very similar, because you've got a person who's a strong man of action, and Jeff Keane, as an assistant fire chief, was many times in the heat of battle with men under him,
right.
fighting fires.
Right.
They're very similar, and you've also got a philosopher mystic. So, not only does their physical appearance match, but their personalities and their abilities match.
You talked to an editor from the Washington Post, a gentleman by the name of Tom Schroeder. And am I right, did I understand it right, that he had actually written a book on this topic?
He had traveled with Dr. Stevenson on two occasions, once to India and once to the Middle East.
Yes.
Because he wanted to see for himself, and he was skeptical. He wanted to see, is Dr. Stevenson getting these results that he says he's getting? And, are people telling him that? And he saw it firsthand, and he was convinced to the point where he wrote a book about it called Old Souls.
How did you come up with the people that appear on the video? How did you come to choose the people that you chose to be in the video, Steve?
The way you found me.
Huh.
I'm serious. It was almost all synchronistic. Somebody would happen to write me and say, by the way, do you know there's a professor that I took classes from here in Atlanta? So I got hold of Dr. Allmeter, and somebody would say, by the way, have you seen the Children's Past Life website? And I would contact Carol Bowman and so forth. And Jeff Keane, when he, the second time he ever used the internet from the firehouse, he's retired now, but when he was at the firehouse, he searched on reincarnation. God, my website had just started. I don't know how he found it. But he found this website of mine, and he found that I was in Atlanta where John Gordon lived, and he called me on the phone. The whole thing went like that. If you remember the young woman who talks about the experience where she was a skeptic and, you know, went through this rebirthing experience.
Yes.
She is the secretary at a video production place I used to freelance at.
Huh.
And on and on like that.
So yeah. Very, very well done. The video is called In Another Life, and it's reincarnation in America, how America is encountering reincarnation. And you can order the video by going to www.ial.goldthread.com. We've got much more in our conversation today with Stephen Sakellarius. We are talking In Another Life, Reincarnation in America today on Strategies.
In a large aerospace company, 100 office workers shared a single open room. One day, while working through lunch, my friend Vicky saw her co-worker Richard crawling underneath some of the desk chairs. "What are you doing?" she asked. "Lubricating the chairs," he replied. Richard explained that the squeaky chairs got on his nerves, and rather than complain about the noise, he just took care of the problem himself. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge, and I have a question for you. How often do we try to send our little squeaky problems up or down the chain for someone else to solve? Take initiative. Sometimes there are things we can do quietly ourselves to improve the atmosphere for everyone. It's the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Suit on here, and maybe there's more to this song than we knew. Obviously, I brought my Bee Gees records today, Stephen.
Makes me think of the intro to Airplane.
Yeah.
My favorite things. Anyway,
welcome back into Strategies for Living, talking with Stephen Sakellarius today, and I'm marriage and family therapist Dave McMillan. Very, very interesting discussion that we are in the middle of. It's the DVD is called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. It's about an hour long, and you can order that from the website www.ial.goldthread.com, and that's Gold Thread, GOLDTHREAD. Goldthread.com, www.ial.goldthread.com, and that's pretty much, I'm pounding that here in the program, because that's pretty much the, you know, the exclusive place that you're going to get this this video. Of course, I don't know if you start selling a whole bunch of them, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll get it into some of the bookstores and things like that, Stephen, who knows?
Well, it's in a few colleges.
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah,
wonderful. Which is fascinating. Yeah. So if you take the right courses, you could possibly run into it there.
Now, you know, up on your website, you've got an interesting letter that at some point in time was written to Dr. Billy Graham.
Oh, right.
And, of course, Dr. Graham does a syndicated columnist. He's a syndicated columnist in many, many newspapers, including here in Shreveport. And let me just read this column, the question to Dr. Graham. It was, "Dear Dr. Graham, I'm a student of the various world religions, and I'm convinced that we return to Earth or to some other planet after we die. And keep doing that until we can finally reach perfection. Why aren't Christians open to the idea of reincarnation? It's signed FD. And Dr. Graham writes back, "Dear FD, you're right when you say Christians don't believe in reincarnation, but I hope you'll understand why we don't. Because a very important truth is behind our conviction. Christians reject reincarnation for two main reasons. The first is because the Bible does not teach it, and in fact makes it clear that when we die, we don't return to earth again, but enter eternity, either with God in heaven or apart from God forever. The Bible said man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment," and that's from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "The second reason Christians reject reincarnation," he goes on to say, "is because Christ has paid the full penalty for our sins totally and completely. He did that by his death on the cross for us. You say you hope to become perfect someday in another life, but Jesus has already made us perfect in God's eyes by taking away all of our sins. The Bible says, 'But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.'" That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. "Think of it," Dr. Graham says, "every sin you've ever committed could be completely cleansed if you will turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Don't be deceived by a false hope, but put your faith and hope in Christ today." And that was Dr. Graham's reply to FD. I think it's interesting that Dr. Graham quoted, Stephen, two letters from the Apostle Paul, Hebrews and Corinthians, and didn't quote some of the Gospels. There's a place in the Gospels, and I'm not enough of a biblical scholar to be able to spit out verse and chapter, but I know it's there. Jesus says of John the Baptist, the people are asking about John the Baptist, and Jesus says he is the prophet Isaiah, if you can accept it.
Right, right.
Now, I find it difficult to make that statement kind of align with anything unless Jesus himself believed that we do have the ability, we do have the possibility exists that we come back. There's another place in the Gospels where Jesus says, who do people say I am? And some of the disciples are said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say they name names. Well, again, and there are many, many more places that that we could go to and look at in the Bible, but those are two that just come to my mind. And as I say, I'm not a real biblical scholar, so I find it interesting that that Dr. Graham mentioned Paul as opposed to some of these other places in the Bible.
Right, and I think that's fairly typical that an awful lot of churches are focused more on Paul's teachings than they are on Jesus' teachings. But can I cite a website that I've
Absolutely.
Got in front of me here? This
Please.
Is called, there's no www in this, so it's http://, and it's reluctant-messenger.com.
Okay.
Reluctant-messenger.com. And there's a lot of information there about how Christianity got in the state it's in, specifically with regard to reincarnation.
Mm.
So there's way more to this topic than you could really go into in depth, but I would check that out.
What's the upshot of it? I mean,
the upshot of it is that it got taken out by the political authorities.
Okay, so
they prevail. Apparently, the political authorities in 300 and 500 A.D. roughly prevailed upon the religious authorities to take out, and not just reincarnation, but specifically the preexistence of the soul. The idea that the truth that the soul pre-exists, it's not created at the time you're born or any other time.
Right.
Because that leads to the mystical interpretation of Christianity, the Gnostic interpretation. And so they basically excised it, like surgically took it out for various political reasons.
Okay. But they didn't get all the places.
They didn't get it all.
Okay.
Right. They didn't get it all, and the people like the Cathars in 13th century France, who kept that idea, were persecuted in the Inquisition.
Hmm. If you were sitting down talking to Dr. Graham, what kind of a conversation would you choose to have with him over this?
You can't. because people who have... See, the problem is you've got truth and falsehood all mixed up. Very difficult situation. It's like trying to get rid of a cancer without killing the person. So basically they're hanging on to something that they clearly feel is true, and it is true, but it's all mixed up with falsehood. And so they won't let go of the one for the other. And basically you can't let them, you know, you can't help them. So I've stopped trying. Okay. Although when I read Dr. Graham's columns, I felt like he kind of had gotten into my territory. And, you know, I just, basically up to that point, I hadn't addressed the whole issue. That was the first time when I wrote that response that I really had publicly tried to do anything.
On the DVD, and you mentioned her earlier, you have an author and researcher, lady by the name of Carol Bauman, who has studied children's past lives, just like Dr. Ian Stevenson. And her most recent book, if I'm remembering correctly, it's called Return from Heaven.
That's right. That's her second book.
Second, newest book out. And she mentions that as you listen to these children, there are four things that emerge over many cases.
Correct.
And she talks about that when children talk about these memories, it's different from the way that they do fantasy. It's different from fantasy play because they talk about these things in a very matter-of-fact tone, a very matter-of-fact presentation.
In my documentary, there is a woman, and I'll tell you how I ran across this woman, is that my girlfriend is a manager in daycare, and she heard through the grapevine that one of the teachers that worked for her chain of daycares had this experience of her child when he was three talking about a past life. This is how common this is. If you go into your circle of friends, your circle of acquaintances, I'll bet you anything you'll find one of these cases. Because all children basically appear to have past life memories. And you'll find one case where somebody, as a parent, was open enough to listen. So I found this woman and I interviewed her, and when she told me about this, she had heard of Carol Bauman. I checked. She'd heard of her, but she'd never read any of her information. She related almost verbatim these same four signs. She said that the little boy's tone was matter of fact. That's the first one.
Right.
That his story was consistent over time. That's the second one.
And again, she points out that in play and fantasy, you get some inconsistencies. The fantasy and play, if you're making a if it's a make believe, it may be one story today. It's a little different, maybe.
Also, doesn't check out historically, which some
Correct.
People do.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's consistent over time.
Then the third one is knowledge beyond experience, and this little boy clearly was saying things that as a three-year-old, for example, he was saying, in this town where I live, we were rich, we had a car. You know, even though it was like a used car with the seat torn out in the back, he felt that he was rich. Well, that's not characteristic of this day and age.
Right, most of us
not
have,
a normal thing, yeah.
have multiple cars. Most
right.
families have multiple cars.
A three-year-old kid, from what he knows of this culture, would not say how rich he was because he had a car.
Right.
Just one little thing. He also wouldn't understand probably about being strangled from the back seat with a wire, but it's possible in this culture.
Right.
And then the corresponding behaviors and traits, he did actually, well, he didn't go into it, he did actually have a problem with his neck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't
go into it in the interview.
Now, and you don't get into great depth in this, in the DVD, but you do, you have several past life regression therapists on, and they touch on it. What's the process when someone consults a regression therapist? It's generally I forget which one, but one of your guest on the DVD pointed out that it's generally when you get to a past life regression therapist, it's after you've exhausted lots and lots of medical
last resort.
Yeah, it's kind of a last resort type of thing. Okay, well, let's try this. And so what actually happens in regression therapy, Steve?
Well, basically, the theory behind it and the way it works is that you talked about ripple effects. In a sense, there is a ripple effect when some traumatic event happens in a past life. It will ripple. It'll show up in a birth trauma. It'll show up in early childhood. It'll show up in your adulthood. Recapitulations of it, little versions.
Right.
will show up again and again and again.
Could show up as a birthmark, even.
It can show up as a birthmark on your physical body, which is a whole other issue. But if you deal with these things until you get to the core of the complex, emotional core of the complex, of where the trauma originated from, you haven't really dealt with the core issue. So the problem is that all these other therapies are dealing with the ripples, with the recapitulations. They're not dealing with the original trauma. So the idea of past life therapy is to experientially and emotionally get back to the original trauma.
Hmm.
And they do it. It's done through hypnosis. Dr. Wolger, who's interviewed in the documentary, does it through combination of gestalt and psychodrama and some body work. He doesn't use hypnosis. Same effect.
You know, one of the interesting things in my conversation with Dr. Brian Weiss that he said was he was talking about, you know, sometimes people will ask questions, well, couldn't this be explained as a dream? Or couldn't this be explained, you know, like we dream at night, some of us have dreams that are pretty out there, pretty fantastic. And he said, you know, I don't really spend a whole lot of time trying to figure it out or explain it. He said, here's the way I look at it. It all comes from you. Whatever this is, you know, whatever's coming up, it's coming from you. It's coming from your unconscious. Therefore, whether it's true or not true, it's relevant to deal with because it's coming from you. I thought that was a pretty unique way to look at it.
It's not unique among therapists. The therapists drive me nuts because they have a I'm sorry to take this track. The therapists drive me nuts because they have a tendency to say that it doesn't matter whether it's real, and that's true in as much as the therapy is effective, whether you believe it or not.
But therapy can
be effective even if the therapist and the client don't believe it's
right.
True. But I think it's terribly important whether it's true from the philosophical existential, you know, standpoint.
From the point of what you're really trying to make people aware of, it is very important to believe or not to believe in it.
It is, because, you know, resolving the trauma is not the ultimate goal, I don't think. I think that the trauma and resolving the trauma, they're all part of something larger spiritually. And that larger spiritual goal is not served by assigning what's real to the realm of things that are fantasy.
We are talking to Stephen Sakellarius today, and the video is In Another Life. It examines reincarnation in America, how America is encountering reincarnation with scientific research, children describing past life to their parents, and much more. We'll be back with more strategies. Stay with us.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
Well, you might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
I guess I could use a little direction. So how do I treat a woman, Dad?
You know, I'm not going to tell you. You have to figure that out by yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay, I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah. When you're at school, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. Many young men need advice and direction on how to behave towards women. You can help provide it. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
To Strategies for Living, and my conversation today with Stephen Sakellarius. I'm marriage and family therapist Dave McMillan. The DVD is called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America and How America is Encountering Reincarnation. Scientific research, children describing a past life to their parents, full sensory flashbacks, workshop experiences, past life psychotherapy, Eastern spirituality. It is a packed hour. It is well done, well worth the price of admission, and you can order the video from www.ial.goldthread.com, and the video can be delivered directly to your front door. Now, it's interesting, you included in the video, you this is balanced because you included both sides of the story here, Stephen. I mean, you had a skeptic, Ronald Lehrer, I believe was his name?
That's correct.
And why did you decide to include Ronald's views in the DVD?
Well, this is meant to be a sociological overview. It's like when I was in my counseling program, I have a master's in counseling, which I haven't used professionally, but when I was in that program, they said that just taking a baseline in itself impacts the person. It can be therapeutic in and of itself. In other words, just seeing where you are. So the idea of this documentary is to show us as a society where we are in relation to this topic. And then maybe that will start people thinking in and of itself is the idea. So one of the places we are skeptical, so I wanted to show that. I wanted to make that part of the landscape.
Right. Now, you produced the video a year and a half or so ago. It came out in 2002, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's the feedback so far from people who have watched it? And, I mean, what's been the... what have been the kind of comments that that you've gotten back?
When I get comments back, it's usually the more knowledgeable they are on the subject, the more they like it. So the most knowledgeable people, for the most part, are really enthusiastic, and then I don't hear so much from other people. You know, I just don't hear back. I don't get hate mail. I don't get comments. I send them out, you know, and I don't hear. I do hear from the professors that use it in their classroom that it always stimulates discussion. The professors themselves are very impressed with it. So I feel like I have something that's really worthwhile, but it just hasn't quite gotten acknowledged yet that it's there. And there's an awful lot of denial in this whole business. The reaction from a lot of people is, well, Dr. Stevenson tells a story, and I think it really sums it up very well. He says there's an old New England farmer that had never been out to the farm and had never seen any animals other than farm animals, and somebody got the whim to take this old man to the zoo. And he's standing there in front of the camel, which he'd never seen, and he's staring, and finally he turns away and he mutters to himself, "Ain't no such beast," meaning that it can't be. And this is what Dr. Allmeter was trying to get at, too. He says, it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what you would believe if you could be objective. And so what I get, an awful lot of what I get is nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You actually had, you've sent this out, I know, to a lot of public television stations. One of them actually broadcast it, right?
One of them did, in Denver, Colorado.
KBDI.
KBDI.
Yeah, that was early... January of 2003.
That's correct.
Did any feedback from that airing?
He said he didn't get any. I think Nielsen said 13,000 households watched it, even with that. He didn't promote it at all. So there was
okay.
No promotion. Saturday evening, and he said 13,000 households watched it. And he says no feedback. He did tell me that he was going to air it right after the pledge drive, which I interpreted to mean that it could do the least damage.
Well, I don't know. It could. There's another way to look at that, Stephen. A pledge drives for these stations, public TV and radio stations, are very important. So the programming in and around them is very important. So maybe who knows?
It's possible, but one would have thought he would have promoted it.
Yeah.
I got the feeling he needed programming. Denver is a very liberal area where he felt he could get away with it. But even so, he would wait until after the pledge drive. That's the impression I got.
Yeah. There's a very, very interesting, toward the end of the DVD, there's a lady who... who says that she remembered in a, I believe it was a group experience, one of the regression therapists.
Rebirthing group. Mm-hmm.
It says that she remembered being a minor painter in the Renaissance. And
That's a different case, I'm sorry. But anyway, this is something that Roger Wilger told.
Yes.
In the interview, yeah.
The lady was, I think, from the town of, a little town of, she remembered she was from the town of Siena.
That's correct.
And so it was very interesting because she remembered the name. She got the name of this minor painter. She had gone to her local library, could not find the name. She went to the university library's art department, again, no name. She was about to give up, and she went. A friend of hers happened to tell her about some place. I think it was the Cortell Art Department, Art Institute in San Francisco, and she happened to find this 5-volume history of Italian art. And lo and behold, in that 5-volume history, there was the name of this Renaissance painter.
Yeah, and then she went to Siena, knew her way around.
Interesting.
In the old city, and found a house with a plaque with a guy's name on it.
Yeah, and she and her husband took her husband right to in Siena, even though she had no map, no nothing. Took her husband right to this villa, this old house, and there was a plaque with this painter's name on the wall.
Now here's something else interesting to give you an idea of the kind of synchronicity around this whole show. Just briefly, I mean it's an aside, but in order to get photographs, most of them I took myself, but occasionally there were photographs I needed. There was a service called arttoday.com, which is online. You know, you sign up and you get access to their photographs.
Right.
So I searched on the word Siena, and I came up with, I think it was about 12 photographs. One of those 12 photographs was so on target that I had to put a disclaimer on it to indicate that it wasn't necessarily the exact same house. But, I mean, that's pretty interesting that one out of 12, you know, what happened to be exactly what was being talked about in this interview.
And you don't know for a fact that it wasn't the house.
I don't know that it wasn't. How many old houses they have over there with plaques
on
the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting if you researched it further?
Well, if I'd had a budget, I would have. I don't know if he would have put me in contact with that person. This was somebody that was in one of Dr. Wilger's workshops. I participated in one of his workshops in order to film him, but this was somebody at a previous workshop. I wish I could have interviewed her. I wish I could have gone to Siena. You know? But these are the kind of things you do with a real budget.
With a real budget. I think people need to keep in mind, this is what you're attempting to do here is an introductory. It's almost like a 101, a basic. You're trying to get us to open our minds to possibility. Would that be a good word for this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just the possibility of. And again, you know, are there any potential? I mean, I understand what you were talking about earlier when we were talking about Dr. Graham and the Christian Church. But I can't. You know, I'm a Christian, and my belief is strong. I was raised in the Christian church. I can't, for the life of me, Stephen, I can't see anything that would be detrimental to any Christian making this a part of their belief system.
Now, I'll tell you, very recently I videotaped an interview, not for the documentary, because it's in the can, but for the website, because I have streaming video interviews on the website. And the most recent one I did is with a woman who was raised as a very strict fundamentalist Baptist and left that orientation, but she remains spiritual. She believes in God. I don't know if she'd consider herself Christian or not, but I would think she does. And,
right.
You know. And I would recommend that interview because, first off, she proved her memories.
Hmm.
They're historically proven. And that's
on your website.
That's on the website. It's in the streaming video section. You'll see it once you get on the main page. You have to have a real player to play it. You can have a dial-up connection or fast.
Mm-hmm.
And just listen to her presentation, because she talks about that issue, about what it means to her, and that she feels that it really expands Christianity for her. In other words, it enhances and expands it rather than destroying it.
I would agree with her. I haven't seen that. I'll after the program today, I'll go and and watch your video with her. But I just from what you're saying, I would agree with her.
Yeah.
I don't see any real problem.
Well, I would say it restores it because really, as I said, it was taken out. So I would say it restores to Christianity something really significant that's been lost.
You're continuing then to collect stories, and you're interested in hearing from people who might have had these types of experiences or know of people who have had these experiences.
Absolutely, and I also have connections with Dr. Stevenson's successor, Dr. Tucker. And Carol Bowman is interested in children's cases, so, you know, I can put them in touch with researchers. I don't consider myself a researcher. I'm more of an educator.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely interested in presenting cases. And I also answer questions. You know, people have questions on the topic.
Again, the website that you can go to is www.ial.goldthread.com. IAL.goldthread.com. And very, very interesting. You know, we've covered a lot of ground this morning. I guess we probably have not covered really here in the West one of the gentlemen that really opened us up to the possibility of this. Himself a very good Christian man, by the way, a gentleman by the name of Edgar Cayce.
Right, I've studied his work.
And he even though he was, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly from a past interview I did with someone in his organization, he was a Presbyterian, a staunch, believing, good Presbyterian man, but he taught in his work that we needed to be have an openness to some of the doctrine of the Eastern religions.
He would go into trance in which he was, for all intents and purposes, as far as he was concerned, he'd be asleep. And then he would speak in the trance, and when he'd wake up, he would find out what he had said. So at some point, he woke up, and they said, you know, you were talking about reincarnation. And it was as much of a surprise to him as to anyone else, and he had to adjust to it.
There are some research organizations that continue to do this work. One, the International Association for Regression Research and Therapies.
Correct.
And if people want more information, they might. I'm assuming this organization has a website.
They do. It's very simple. It's just www.iarrt.org. It's an org rather than a com. And this is a good place if you want referral in your local area to a past life therapist. They will provide you with a list with the person's credentials and contact information. So it's a good place to go if you want. And I would always say this, I would strongly recommend that you not try to do this on your own or not try to do it with a friend or, although I probably get some flack for this, not try to do it with do-it-yourself CDs. I would strongly recommend that if you are interested in going in for past life therapy, that you do it with a well-credentialed therapist.
Well, and there's...
would be credentialed anyway,
yeah,
as a therapist.
I think there's a very good, solid reason for that, too, Stephen, and that is because of the information that can come up from this type of thing is absolutely a cornucopia of information that you can use to your betterment, especially with a trained therapist.
Right. There's a number of reasons, as you say, not to just dabble in it.
This is very, very interesting stuff. I hope we can talk in the future. This is, of course, a first effort. I hope more continues, either from you, Stephen, or from other interested parties.
Right. Either I'll inspire somebody to fund me, or I'll inspire somebody else that has funding. Either way.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I think that. Very, very well done, particularly in spite of the budget limitations. It surely doesn't appear like a video that's been produced for under a couple of grand. And
I just recently got a local distributor, so let's see what he can generate.
There you go. It's www.ial.goldthread.com. Stephen Sakellarius, thank you so much for coming and being a part of Strategies.
Thank you, David.
And folks, hope you will be open to this. It's called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. Very, very interesting. Whether you believe in it, whether you don't believe in it, this is a very, very interesting DVD to make yourself think. And that's the whole purpose. That's our purpose of having these conversations each and every day, is to help us all live healthier, happier, more peaceful lives in our bodies, in our minds, and in our spirits. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies Today. Come back and join us. We'll be here early in 2005 with much more strategies for living. If today were the last day of your life and you only had one more phone call that you could make, who is it that you'd call? What is it that you'd say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Stephen Sakellarius, I'm marriage and family therapist Dave McMillan. See you soon.